Welcome to the most unbiased, unfiltered podcast around. My name is Kenyatta Wright, your host, and here's my co-host, Greg Love.
What's up?
Friday night, Greg. Brooklyn Nets are in action. And Bulls are getting ready for them, sitting at home. Makes for interesting action tomorrow as we play against the top team in the East, and being a top team in the East ourselves, we're going to break down everything. Plus, we're going to talk about the Knicks game and some other things we're going to discuss on the Bulls. Javonte Green on placed on COVID protocol. We're going to talk about everything right after this.
Talking Bulls can now be heard on three separate platforms. Follow us on Spotify, Anchor, and YouTube. Get all your up-to-date information on the Chicago Bulls right here on Talking Bulls Podcast. Get all your up-to-date information on the Chicago Bulls right here on Talking Bulls Podcast.
All right, back on Talking Bulls. So, Greg, I'm going to let you have the floor. The Bulls preparing for the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow, and what is a clash of the two top teams in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls are currently at 15-8 after defeating the New York Knicks in a heavily competitive game last night. An exciting one, blown lead, but still ended up to be an exciting game. The Nets are currently at 15-6, are in action tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves as we speak. And so what do you make of this clash of the two top seeds tomorrow?
I think that the Bulls should win. I think it'll probably be a little bit closer than it was last time they played. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting a Bulls win, especially with Brooklyn playing back-to-back. And, I mean, they're in a pretty tight one right now, and the Bulls getting a little bit of extra rest. I'm expecting a Bulls W and taking over first place.
77-71 right now with 5:44 in the third. The Nets lead the Timberwolves. To be honest with you, Greg, I expected the Bulls to be where they are coming into this season. A lot of analysts like Nick Friedell and a couple other analysts had the Bulls as a play-in before the season started, but I knew this team had too much talent to be a play-in. But I expected it. You know, the Bulls are not well-liked around the league. Whether people will admit it or not, we're one of the most disliked teams around the league. And so I pretty much had the Bulls in the top three, and right now they're top two, not that far from behind the Nets for the top first seed in the East. And being in a game like this and being where we are currently in the standings and challenging the Nets, a team that everybody picks to go to the NBA Finals to face the Lakers. I don't know if the Lakers are going to get there so much, but that's the finals that they want. And I'm happy to see where the Bulls are, man. I take great pride in saying we're one of the East top two teams and could be first in the East.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't know if they're so much disliked. I feel like disrespected is probably more so a better word. Like you said, like, nobody's talking about the Bulls. Stephen A. was forced, I guess, to talk about the Bulls today on First Take because Zach LaVine last night walked over and told him that the Bulls are going to beat the Knicks, and that's exactly what they did.
I love that.
So he was forced to acknowledge what happened. But otherwise, you know, the Bulls aren't getting this national media coverage, right? Which, I mean, that's fine. I feel like it adds a chip on their shoulders. Like, you know, you want to keep talking about the Lakers, right? Like, you want to keep talking about the Nets. And it's like, we beat them pretty handily. And you don't want to talk about us? Fine. But we just going to have to show you. You know, so I'm fine with them. I'm not trying to cover it. I'm fine with them feeling like we're the underdog. I'm fine because the Bulls thus far have been proving everybody wrong.
They have. And I'm going to tell you something. I think if the Bulls played against the Nets, I give the Bulls a puncher's chance, especially without Kyrie. And yeah. it's just going to be a reflection of what happened to the Nets last year going up against the Bucks. And for anybody that don't know what I mean by that, what I mean by that is the Bucks were a team that weren't deep, didn't have all the top stars in the league, but they did have chemistry. And I feel like the Bulls not only have the all-stars, they have underrated all-stars that people don't feel is on the same level as the Nets, even though we have the number one and number four scorer in the league. But they're not talked in the same breath as the James Harden and the Kevin Durant. But I think the Bulls' chemistry as a unit, as a team, is better than anything that Brooklyn is doing right now. Surprisingly, I'm surprised that the Nets are at the top of the East because I don't feel like they played really good basketball this year.
Yeah, I think they've been kind of inconsistent, but I think, too, basically that team is full of kind of higher guns, similar to how the Lakers are. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just like, okay, we're going to go all in for the championship. Now, if this was 10 years ago, those would be ridiculously super teams. But right now, you know, you have your stars. You got your KD, right? You got your Harden, you got your LeBron. And, you know, your AD and Russ, right? But everybody else is just kind of like, all right, we just need you to do whatever and we'll ride, you know, ride these stars to the championship. But that's not working out, right? A lot of, you know, the Bulls, you know, you get Phoenix, Golden State, right? Like, these are teams that, like you said, have chemistry, that are actually playing well together. Mm-hmm. Not just, all right, we'll just throw a bunch of talent together and then eventually they'll make it work. So, yeah, I think that kind of contributes to it. Of course, with the Nets, you know, with Kyrie being out, that is a major loss for them because that is something they definitely did not account for, that none of us really accounted for in going into the season. So, you know, whenever that situation gets resolved one way or the other, we will see what the Nets look like, whether we know for a fact he just won't be with them or if he will be with them and then how that team looks. But, you know, right now, and bringing it back to the Bulls, I like what they're doing. You know, of course, there's always room for improvement, but, you know, right now they're playing pretty well as a team. Like you said, we got two of the top five scorers in the league and definitely proven everybody wrong as far as what the expectations were. Like, I didn't necessarily expect them to be a play-in team. I figured they would at the very least be top five, somewhere in there. So, I mean, top seed is great, right? Like, they exceed my expectations. But I'm really happy with them.
My only takeaway from the Bulls is staying focused and locked in for 48 minutes. I feel like, you know, all of these blown leads, you know, that they've been having, and it took Bulls fans around the world this Knicks game that we just won, which I thought was a thriller. It was a great game. It was exciting if you're not a Bulls fan, but for me it was exciting and tense at the same time, because I'm like, man, we can't lose another game after being up 20, man. It's just embarrassing. And for those who haven't been paying attention to the Bulls games, they did it against the Rockets, they did it against the Blazers before that game. And I'm just a little sick and tired of us losing after being up 20, man. I feel like this team just is losing their focus and not focused for 48 minutes. I don't know what it is. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to one thing, and that's those three-point shooters that I've been stressing on every podcast, Greg, that they have to get out to these shooters. And I really believe they have to go out and get some perimeter-oriented guys, even if they go get some veterans. And get them on vet minimum deals, or, you know, they need to bring in some perimeter guys that can defend the perimeter. They need a big man, definitely. Any ideas of how they would be able to, you know, get these guys, get these players that they need? The development league is one idea that comes to my mind. The trade deadline is another idea that comes to my mind. A lot of people throwing Kobe White's name out there, saying they would get Marvin Bagley. But I haven't seen any legitimate sources stating that Marvin Bagley the Kings are in talks with the Bulls for a trade swap of Marvin Bagley for Kobe White.
Yeah, I think with the Marvin Bagley thing, it's just that he clearly wants out. That I mean, I'm not, like you said, like, there's nothing really confirmed. I'm pretty sure that there are multiple sources of Marvin Bagley wanting to go anywhere but Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, with Coby White, I think right now he's probably the best tradable asset that the Bulls have. You know, because we have an abundance of guards. So I could see that. But I was reading, speaking of Coby White, that he's placed on the COVID list.
Listen, that's probably why we won, man. I don't like Coby out on the floor, to be honest with you. But my thing is, okay, now that we're down two guys heading into this big game against the Nets, I need a Javonte Green in there. I need a Javonte Green to play. That's like our best defender. Kudos on the job that Javonte Green did on Julius Randle last night. I think it was a hell of a job that he did defending that guy. Heavily undersized, and Julius Randle just bigger than him, and you know, thicker than him, and bigger than him in every way. And he held his own against Julius Randle. So to lose him to this COVID protocol stuff, man, is really huge. And I'm starting to think about what LeBron James is saying, man. It's like every time the Bulls get, you know, ready to really break out and they about to go into a tough stretch or against a big team, you know, that's a contender. Hey, they come with this protocol stuff and taking away our players. And now we lost two players to protocol. And it happens to be against the Brooklyn Nets, a team that the league is favoring and won in the finals. You know, what a big of a coincidence is that?
Yeah, I mean, I can see how it seems like it lines up that way, because I know reading it just said that Coby White tested positive for COVID. So this was December 1st. So looking at it like, okay, yeah, they announced it after practice, so right before the game, basically. So I could see why they would have him out for the, you know, next couple games. But yeah, it does seem like a very coincidental, right? Like for a team that's your favorite, for a team that you're fighting for the top spot. And now it's like, oh, okay, well, now we're just going to kind of have you play with a hand behind your back, right? So I can see how it looks in the optics of everything.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Go ahead, Brett.
I was like, even with that, I still expect the result to be the same.
You still got the Bulls beating the Nets?
Yep.
Tomorrow night?
Yep. They already beat them without Coby once, so I don't think he is – not to, you know, dismiss him or dismiss his impact on the team, but I don't think missing him would be relevant because they've already shown that they can win without him.
Well, give me a score. What are you thinking tomorrow? What's the scores you got?
I'm thinking probably about 121 to 110.
Oh, you got them both scoring in the hundreds.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 100 to 91. I think Bulls going to hold them under 100 points. This defense that they're playing right now is just spectacular, man. But, you know, with missing Javonte Green, it might change things a little bit for me. So maybe I'll go 105 to 97.
Okay.
That's more like, sound like a more of a score that can happen. But I want this top seed. I'm not satisfied with just being number two. I want the Bulls to be number one. I've been adamant on that since the season started. I feel like they can be number one. For those who are laughing at me for saying that right now, then you probably were the same people that were laughing at me at the beginning of the season and calling them a playing team. And as it looks right now, everybody, a lot of people that were laughing aren't laughing anymore. They're really taking this Bulls team serious, and they should be. One of those guys, Stephen A. Smith, and I really like Zach LaVine walking over to him and saying, I know you want us to lose this game, but it ain't going to happen.
Yep.
Because people got to realize, and I know he did it in a joking manner, but I'm taking it more serious. People got to start really giving the Bulls their respect. And not just this year. We've been a very respectable and competing team for some years now. Even when we were a bad team and we weren't expected to do nothing, it was never any easy games against us. So I'm still marveled at the fact that people really actually think that we're an easy out anytime in any game. I mean, Greg, what am I missing? I mean, am I telling the truth? Even when we were a bad team, where we were expected to make the playoffs, we still competed.
Yeah, like I said, I think they're probably one of the more disrespected teams in the league. Right? Like, I think, you know, if you look at bad teams, I think the expectation is like, oh, and kind of I think a little bit how the Bulls viewed Houston, right? It was like, oh, when we walk in the gym, we should just beat them, right? Like, it should be like that. And like you said, we came in and we competed, right? Like, even at the end of the Jim Boylan era, when there was a ton of people who you did not know their names, but they went out there and they fought. Like, and, you know, I think now that the Bulls are good and actually competing, I think, you know, there's a little bit of that same kind of mentality of like, okay, we should walk in to beat the Bulls. Like, oh, they got a little streak going or whatever, but it's not going to last. And the Bulls are just like, no, like we are a good team, kind of forcing teams to respect them. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, for, like I said, forcing the national media to respect them. Right? Like I said, they don't want to talk about it, talk about the Bulls. That's fine. Right? But like, you know, at the end of the season, playoff time, right? Like, you're looking up and it's like, oh, I didn't realize the Bulls got this many wins. Or, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, they're number one seed or number three seed or whatever, wherever they're going to fall. It's like, well, that's y'all fault for not paying attention, because the tape is there, right? Like, they've been putting the product on the floor, showing the world that, yes, we are a good team. Yes, we are, you know, you have to reckon with us. Like, you want to go, you know, you want to go to the finals, right? Like, you got to come through Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the start of the season, right? That's what they're showing everybody. And, you know, hopefully this continues throughout the season. And, you know, we get to the playoffs, we're talking about, you know, as we're talking about matchups, it's, man, looking at it like, all right, you know, we beat this team or whatever two or three times in the regular season, so we kind of got their number. As opposed to, because I'm sure the national media, whenever we get to that point, is still going to view them as an underdog and come up with whatever reason they want to view them as an underdog, right? You can make up a million things. But, you know, we know as Bulls fans that, like, nah, like, we got some players. Like, we can compete with anybody.
45% from the field in October. In November, 47% from the field. In December, 49% from the field. So every single month, the Bulls have improved their field goal percentage as a team. Three-point percentage, 38% in October, downgraded to 36% in November, and then to 37% in December. So their best three-point shooting month was in October. I think, and I've always said that the Bulls should shoot less threes. I just don't think – I think we can hit them and we can make them, but I wouldn't call us a three-point shooting team.
No, we're not.
You know, and I feel like, you know, you just got to get a bucket. You got to get the best bucket possible. We're not the Warriors, man. We're not a three-point shooting team, per se. I think we're a team that just plays organized, and we can get the best shot possible if we just move the ball around, you know? But that doesn't necessarily mean that shot has to be a three. It could be a pass that opens up a lane to go right to the basket. Yeah. And knowing our guys, they'll settle for a three instead of driving to the basket. Reason why I don't like that, I want our players to start getting fouled. Start putting the pressure on teams to foul us and put us to the line for free throws. You know, I want to see the Bulls do that more. What DeMar DeRozan does, I want each and every one of our guys to have that mentality. You know, let's get teams in foul trouble. Let's get them in the penalty, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, take the easy buckets. You don't always need to get that three back, right? Like, you could still get three the hard way, you know, with an and one, right? Like, so I agree with you. I think that the Bulls shouldn't fall in love with three, especially the way that the team is currently constructed. It isn't a bunch of just sharpshooters, right? Like, I said to say there are guys that are capable of shooting the three, but it's not necessarily – that's not their specialty, right? Like, so if your specialty – if you are athletic and you can get to the hole, do that, right? Like, if you're wide open, cool, I get it, right? But don't force a three, you know, like
– All right, so I got two stats for you, Greg. two stats departments. One of them is going to make you happy. The other one is going to make you cringe. So which one you want first? You want the cringe or you want the one that's going to make you happy?
All right, go with the one that's going to make me happy.
All right, assist department. The Bulls are really sharing the ball and have improved every month. In the month of October, the Bulls are 23.2, averaging 23.2 assists as a team. In the month of November, they're averaging 23.4 assists as a team.
Okay, taking
in
it up a
December,
notch.
They're averaging 24 assists as a team. So they improving every month passing the ball. So they're sharing the ball. Now here's where it gets bad. The turnovers. 12.2 turnovers in October, 13.9 in November, and 15 a game in December. Turnovers. Bulls got to protect the ball. And I think we've been talking about that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can see that because it's been two games that they've had in December so far. So, 15 each game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can see it. We kind of talked about this too, right after the Heat game, right? Like,
turnovers. You know that 15 is from the Heat game.
So, we're talking about the Heat, the Hornets, and the Knicks. They had 15 against the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So, that's just something that
22 against the Heat.
Yeah, so this is something that really need to clean up more. And I guess the thing that irritates me about the turnovers is that they aren't forced turnovers, right? Like, I guess not that I want turnovers, but I can live with it. It was like, oh, okay, that's just great defense, right? Like, you force the turnover. But if it's just bad pass, sloppy play, walking the ball up and getting a second violation, like things like that, like those are just boneheaded plays, right? Mm-hmm. Like, those turnovers can be avoided. So, it's just, cleaning up some of the boneheaded plays and bad turnovers, and we'll be all right. Like, I do like that they're sharing the ball more, moving it a lot more, getting, ball movement, get more open shots, things like that, get easier buckets. I really like that. But, the turnovers, got to clean it up.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to switch topics a little bit. Still talking about the Bulls, obviously, but I'm going to switch topic. Now, Greg, I think this team could get to the finals this year. Me and you both know what it's going to take for the Bulls to get into the finals. I know you're going to tell me what it is because I think you know what we need to do. I already know what I'm going to say. We need a big man. We need a big man to block shots. And I want that big man to also be able to score because I don't want teams to go 5-on-4. And that big man is a liability on offense. And, the defense can cheat and don't have to play honest. So he has to be able to score and block shots. And we need somebody legitimate. I just don't know who that guy is going to be. There aren't many options out there for the Bulls. I mean, what suggestions do you have, Greg, to correct this one flaw that we have as a team right now?
So the way I don't see you on the big man, like you said, I don't necessarily think that they need a big man that could score. Like, you could have a big man that, you get a little post hook or something. But I feel like we kind of got enough scoring, right? Like, so I feel like, if we get somebody, let's say, like Dwight Howard is, right? Like, doesn't necessarily demand the ball in the paint or anything like that. You can just get put in little baby hooks or whatever, something like that, close to the basket. Like, that works. But I would rather have somebody who primarily focuses on defense and you can kind of, I said, get the easy buckets. Like if we're talking, I guess this is kind of 90s, but like Mutombo, right? Like somebody like that to where, like, okay, like, no, he's not going to average that many points. But at the same time, like, I know nobody's getting no easy buckets. So I can live with that. Mm-hmm. And I guess one other thing I think that they might need, and I had thought, and he wouldn't fit, but I was thinking, like an emotional kind of leader, a guy like a Patrick Beverley. Mm-hmm. Like Patrick Beverley isn't the guy for the Bulls. Like, obviously, just like I said, with the guards and everything, don't need another guard who's basically just going to come in and run the offense because mm-hmm. we have that. But I mean, just somebody who, like you said, we keep giving up these 20-point leads. Somebody who's going to, you know, take everybody aside and be like, look, we need to step on their throat. Like, somebody who is going to
keep us grounded.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. I think we kind of need that. Well, could you get a big man too? Yeah. Probably somewhere. Maybe. I don't know who. Ideally, we can get all of that in one player. But yeah, I definitely agree with a defensive minded big man.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break.
What up, Bulls fans? I'm Greg Love, co-host of Talking Bulls. Follow us on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube. Like us, rate us, and review us. You can also follow me on Twitter, GLove89.
Follow us on Talking Bulls 82 on Twitter, Bulls fans. Like and subscribe to the channel. It helps us keep on bringing you great content and help people like me and Greg further our careers and further, you know, build ourselves up and giving you great Bulls content and all that fine stuff. And thanks for joining us tonight.